कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण. So it's really wonderful to be back to New Dwarka, the place of eternal summer. Of course, I know that just a few days back you went through a serious disaster. The temperature dropped below 70 Fahrenheit. And I'm glad that everyone survived the experience. But, you know, there are many places, as they joke in Russia, of evergreen tomatoes. And so, you know, it's New Dwarka is a very warm place, and there are many very warm devotees in here. And of course, it's a serious challenge for me to speak in front of so many senior, elevated, and celebrated Vaishnavas. So I will require all your blessings. And we will be reading, from what I understand, the last two verses of the chapter 19. No? We finished? Okay. All right. Then I was a bit misinformed, but anyway, it's fine. So we'll start chapter 20, Pali Maharaj surrenders the universe. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. The summary of this 20th chapter is as follows. Despite his knowledge that Lord Vamanadev was cheating him, Pali Maharaj gave everything to the Lord in charity, and thus the Lord extended his body and assumed a gigantic form as Lord Vishnu. After hearing the instructive advice of Shukracharya, Pali Maharaj became contemplative. Because it is the duty of a householder to maintain the principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, Pali Maharaj thought it improper to withdraw his promise to the brahmachari. To lie or fail to honor a promise given to a brahmachari is never proper, for lying is the most sinful activity. Everyone should be afraid of the sinful reactions to lying, for Mother Earth cannot even bear the weight of a sinful liar. The spreading of a kingdom or empire is temporary. If there is no benefit for the general public, such expansions has no value. Previously, all the great kings and emperors expanded their kingdoms with a regard for the welfare of the people in general. Indeed, while engaged in such activities for the benefit of the general public, eminent men sometimes even sacrifice their lives. It is said that one who is glorious in his activities is always living and never dies. Therefore, fame should be the aim of life. And even if one becomes poverty-stricken for the sake of good reputation, this is not a loss. Pali Maharaj thought that even if this brahmachari Vamanadev were Lord Vishnu, if the Lord accepted his charity and then again arrested him, Pali Maharaj would not envy him. Considering all these points, Pali Maharaj finally gave in charity everything he possessed. Lord Vamanadev then immediately extended himself into a universal body. By the mercy of Lord Vamanadev, Pali Maharaj could see that the Lord is all-pervading and that everything rests in his body. Pali Maharaj could see Lord Vamanadev as the Supreme Vishnu, bearing a helmet, yellow garments, the mark of Shivatsa, the Kaustubha jewel, a flower garland, and ornaments decorating his entire body. The Lord gradually covered the entire surface of the world, and by extending his body, he covered the entire sky. With his hands, he covered all directions, and with his second footstep, he covered the entire upper planetary system. Therefore, there was no vacant place where he could take his third footstep. So we'll be reading text number one. Please repeat. Shishukovacha. Shishukovacha. Balir evam griha pati. Balir evam griha pati. Kulacharyena bhashita. Kulacharyena bhashita. Tushnim butva kshanam rajan. Tushnim butva kshanam rajan. Vacha vahito gurum. Vacha vahito gurum. Shishuko vacha. Balirevam grihapati. Kulacharyena bhashita. Tushnim butva kshanam rajan. Vacha vahito gurum. Please. Shishuka vacha. Balirevam Balirevam grihapatihi kulacharyena bhashitah tushnim butva kshanam rajan vacha vahita gurum. Ladies, please. Shishuka vacha. Balirevam grihapati. Snimbatvakshanam dharjan. Vacha vahita gurum. Krishanku vacha. Balirevam grihapati. Shishukovacha. Shishukadeva Goswami said, Balihi, Bali Maharaj, Ebam, thus, Grihapatihi, the master of the household affairs, although guided by the priests, Kula Acharyana, by the family Acharya or guide, Bhashitaha, being thus addressed, Tushnim, silent, Bhutva, becoming, Kshanam, for a moment, Rajan, O King, Maharaj Parikshit, Uvacha, said, Avahitaha, after full deliberation, Gurum, unto his spiritual master. Translation prepared by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charana Ravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami. Shala Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master, Shukracharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time, and then after full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Bali Maharaj remained silent at a critical point. How could he disobey the instruction of Shukracharya, his spiritual master? It is the duty of such a sober personality as Bali Maharaj to abide by the orders of his spiritual master immediately, as his spiritual master had advised. But Bali Maharaj also considered that Shukracharya was no longer to be accepted as a spiritual master, for he had deviated from the duty of a spiritual master. According to Shastra, the duty of the guru is to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. If he is unable to do so and instead hinders the disciple in going back to Godhead, he should not be a guru. Gururna sasyat. One should not become a guru if he cannot enable his disciple to advance in Krishna consciousness. The goal of life is to become a devotee of Lord Krishna so that one may be freed from the bondage of material existence. The spiritual master helps the disciple attain this stage by developing Krishna consciousness. Now, Shukracharya had advised Bali Maharaj to deny the promise to Vamanadev. Under the circumstances, therefore, Bali Maharaj thought that there would be no fault if he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master. He deliberated on this point. Should he refuse to accept the advice of his spiritual master, or should he independently do everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He took some time. Therefore it is said, Tushnim Bhutva Kshanam Rajan Uvacha Vahito Gurum. After deliberating on this point, he decided that Lord Vishnu should be pleased in all circumstances, even at the risk of ignoring the Guru's advice to the contrary. Anyone who is supposed to be a Guru, but who goes against the principle of Vishnu Bhakti, cannot be accepted as a Guru. If one has falsely accepted such a Guru, one should reject him. Such a Guru is described as follows in Mahabharata Udyoga Parva 179.25. Gurur apyabi, Gurur apya baliptasya karya karyam ajanata utpatta pratipanasya parityago vidhiyate. So Jiva Goswami had advised that such a useless guru, a family priest acting as guru, should be given up, and that the proper bona fide guru should be accepted. Satkarma nipanobi pro mantra tantra visharada vaishnava guru nasyat vaishnava svapacha guru. A scholarly Brahmana expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But if a person born in a Vaishnava, in a family of lower caste, is a Vaishnava, he can become a spiritual master. Padma Puran. Shishuku vacha valirevam grihapati kulascharena bhashita tusnim bhutvakshanam rajan vacha vahito gurum. Shishukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master, Shukracharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time, and then, after full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. And what he replied we'll hear in the days to come. But we already know what's going to be happening, that Bali Maharaj will reject his guru. And, of course, this is very hot subject matter, we can say. And Bhagavatam is very unusual scripture. It stands out from the entire body of the Vedic literature. It's revolutionary, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the preface or introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Tatvad visarga janataka viplamo yasmin pratishlokam abaddavatyapi. So, that literature, which is full of glorifications of the Supreme Lord, will, even though it might be imperfectly composed, will create a revolution in the impious lives of the so-called civilized people. Biplava means revolution. Janataka means sinful lives. And Bhagavatam is indeed completely revolutionary scripture. Of course, for us, you know, for most of us who do not come from Indian Vedic background, you know, we don't see it so clearly how revolutionary Bhagavatam is. But if someone was brought up in Vedic culture and been trained, educated and trained to obey guru, to show respect to sannyasis, to respect all divine personalities, demigods, Bhagavatam is mind-blowing scripture. Because, you know, I don't know what you call it in the West, but in Russia it's called yellow press, yellow paper, you know, like some newspapers which thrive on scandals, like they would take some celebrated personality and expose that celebrated personality, right? So, and there are such, you know, papers, newspapers, and there are such literature. So, we can say that amongst the Vedic literatures, Bhagavatam is like a yellow press. It's exposing all the faults of all the personalities who are revered and celebrated in the Vedas. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and number of celebrated saints and sages like Durvasa Muni will be exposed in the next canto, and here Shukracharya is exposed. And then the reverse examples are given, like the examples of, you know, attached householders and demons, like Bali Maharaj is supposed to be attached householder and a demon. and we discover that he is actually a pure devotee. And in the sixth canto, we see even worse example, which is even worse, that Vritrasura, he is such a demon, he is such a vicious demon that he is killing so many devotees, because demigods are also devotees. So he is killing so many demigods. And then we discover that he is actually a pure devotee himself. So, and Bhagavatam is not teaching us these things so that we would, look down at all these personalities. But it's just teaching us that what is real bhakti? That it does not actually depend on the caste or creed. So it is revolutionary, right? Because if you look at the history of the world, beginning from Vedic times and going right into the modern times, there was always a struggle between established religionists who were claiming their rights to represent God to everyone and real spiritually advanced people who were saying no, that this right to be connected to the Supreme Lord is open to everyone, right? And actually, this is the mission of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Projeta Kavita Vatra, Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. Right in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, it says that it is rejecting all the mundane religiosity, which is cheating by nature, and establishing the highest truth, which can only be understood by devotees, satam, but not even all devotees. It says nirmat sarana satam, that those devotees who are free from envy. So it's very interesting. And so, if we are free from the envy in our hearts towards the Supreme Lord, and the proof of that will be that we'll have no envy towards anyone whatsoever, because the Supreme Lord is connected to everyone and everyone is acting under his guidance only. Ekaleshvara Krishna Rasabhavritya. That Chaitanya Charitamrita says that the Supreme Lord is pulling the strings and everyone else is dancing according to the Lord's wish. So if we are free in our hearts from the envy of the Supreme Lord, will have zero problem with anyone in this world, no matter how bad or how nasty people are acting towards us. So there will be no grudge and no resentment in our heart under any circumstance. So that is the, we can say, preliminary qualification to understand the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's pretty tall order, but this is, an ambitious process, to develop pure love of God. And so this is the start to become free from envy and to become free from everything, all the negativity in our heart towards anyone. And unfortunately, it's easier to say than do, as we understand, but it's necessary. It's very necessary to make it a priority. And so we can see that in this case, it's actually mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that Pali Maharaj was contemplating on what to say, even though he was disturbed by the fact that his own guru is advising him against the will of the Supreme Lord and advising him to become dishonest. I mean, the two verses back, Shukracharya Maharaj said, become dishonest. The word was used anrita. Rita means law in Sanskrit. And so he said, break the law, break the law. You have to break the law. And then he found some quotes from the scripture because, you know, it's the law for the kshatriya. You give your word, you better die. But do what you said, right? And then Shukracharya started panicking. Oh, no, you break the law. You know, even though you're supposed to be honest, but there are some circumstances and, you know, there are always, you know, you can pull so many quotes from scripture out of the context and justify anything you want, basically speaking, right? And so this is what he does. And of course, Vali Maharaj was very disturbed. His own guru is pushing him to become dishonest, which is a great embarrassment for an honest man. As Bhagavad Gita says that for one who is glorious or famous, infamy is worse than death. So Shukracharya was trying to, you know, convince, you know, was trying to kill Vali Maharaj's fame by his advices, and he was really pushing him for that. And so obviously Vali Maharaj was quite disturbed, but he kept quiet for a while before responding. And in the 26 qualities of a devotee, we always find that quality of mauni, silent, is always there. And silent means many things, but one meaning of course the primary meaning of the silent, that one will never say anything unrelated to Krishna. But also it means that one will think very deeply, contemplate, and then say. So, and we know by experience that those people who just talk and they never think of what they're talking about, you know, they don't really get much respect in human society. But contemplative people, they might say really few words, but these words will go right into the heart. I remember when I joined, my first temple president was quite an amazing devotee. He actually, I joined in Georgia, and he already followed regulative principles, at least 3 out of 4. Maybe he was not vegetarian, but everything else he followed very strictly, and he was basically an Aishtika brahmachari and black belt karate champion. And he was extremely powerful personality, not only physically, but he had such a powerful spirit, amazingly powerful spirit. He, you know, could, you know, when we were attacked at some point, because I joined at the tail end of the prosecutions in Russia, and we had a harinam of protest because our books were arrested at the custom, and authorities didn't want to let us have these books because they realized, you know, if the books will go into the country, it's going to be a serious problem from their standpoint. And they didn't want to do that. And so we were doing harinams of protest, and we were attacked by the police, and then after a while we got arrested. But the first attack, when the police was trying to arrest the devotees, that devotee, you know, he could, you know, do anything he wanted with these guys, but he couldn't touch them, right? Because if he would touch, then, you know, it will create very bad publicity for devotees. And then, because I was standing right next to him, and then policemen grabbed one devotee and started pulling him into the police car. And this devotee's name was Ambarish. and he stood next to that policeman, and he told him, "You leave that man alone." And he had, you know, whompers in his hands. And the policeman said, "You know, who are you? I'm arresting him." And he had, you know, like, you know, he could basically, you know, with his gaze, he could burn holes in some in someone's head, you know. And he looked, and, you know, he looked like that at this policeman. And he told him, "This is the last warning. If you don't let him go, you'll regret very badly." And the policeman, you know, he was like, he started panicking. He didn't know what to do. And then he said, you're leaving him at the count three. One, two. And then he smashed the wompers in front of this policeman's face. Bang! And policeman got so afraid, he literally flew back and he fell on his back. And he said, "He's crazy." And he ran away like that. So, and yeah, he was chasing all the policemen away without even touching them, because he had such a strong spirit. No one could, you know, dare to even come close to him. But he was known for being extremely silent. He would not speak unless basically he was requested to speak. And he chanted loads of rounds, of course. And at one point, you know, when I joined, I had this really bad habit of engaging in prajalpa. I would just talk anything which would come to my mind. And it happened in front of him. And he looked at me and I realized I've done a big mistake. And he just looked at me and he said, "If you have nothing valuable to say, you either keep quiet or chant Hare Krishna." And it's, you know, quarter of a century later, I still remember those words. And, you know, actually, you know, just with this phrase, he removed that habit to at least a larger extent immediately. And so, yeah, devotee is silent, and one reason that he is thinking before he says something. And so Bali Maharaj is contemplating on his response, and of course he will respond in a very strong way to Shukracharya, even though politely, but he will reject him as a spiritual master. And main lesson for us from these chapters is to choose whom we want to follow in life. Do we want to be like Shukracharya, or do we want to be like Bali Maharaj? So this is the reason Bhagavatam is describing these personalities side by side. And it's done in Bhagavatam many, many times, so that we could see how we should, you know, whom shall we be? We become. And description of Shukracharya is very interesting, because judging from the previous chapter, he was extremely knowledgeable personality. I mean, he knew Vedic literatures probably as many of us would not even dream to learn in this lifetime. And he was coming from very exalted background, and he was extremely austere, and he was very, very rigid in his spiritual practices. So he was extremely qualified personality in all respects. But there was one problem. He was not a devotee. He was not devoted to the Supreme Lord. And there is a passage in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you remember, when Lord Chaitanya is arguing with Keshava Kashmiri correcting his mistakes in the poetry. And then he points out to the faults of the poetry, and he gives very beautiful analogy. He says, one's body, even though very nice and beautiful body, extremely well decorated with so many ornaments, becomes completely useless just because of one spot of white leprosy. You don't want to come near this body, no matter how well it is decorated. So in the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Hari Bhakti Shuddha Doya, extremely beautiful scripture, part of Naradiya Purana, which Srila Prabhupada quoted number of times, says, Narad Muni says that, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastra Japastapaha Apranasyaiva Dehasya Mandanam Loka Ranjanam. That without Bhagavad Bhakti, without the devotion, Hina means in the absence. Jati, high birth, high position in the society. Shastra, all knowledge. Japa, chanting japa. Austerities. Apranasyaiva Dehasya. They are Apranasyaiva Dehasya. Mandanam, that they are no better than decorations on the dead body, and they can entertain only foolish public. Oh, he looks so nice, but he lies in a coffin. What's the use of him or her looking nice? So, in the same way, if there is no bhakti, everything else is absolutely useless. At the same time, if there is bhakti, everything else is not actually even required. There is one story about one devotee who didn't know the Sanskrit, but he heard a prayer in Sanskrit language, but he failed to memorize it properly, and so he was repeating it in a faulty way. And the prayer was, my dear Lord, you are my eternal master, and I am your eternal servant. But he got it wrong, and he was saying, my dear Lord, I am your eternal master, and you are my eternal servant. And so he was offering these kind of prayers, and then someone who knew the Sanskrit, he said, what are you saying? And you know, he was like praying and with tears in his eyes, my dear Lord, you are my eternal servant, I am your eternal master. And then someone corrected him. And this devotee became horrified. Oh, for so long I was offending the Lord. I was calling him my servant. And so he started reciting the prayer in the right way. And he was really afraid and repentant. And he was very, very careful not to make the same mistake again. And then actually the Lord appeared in front of him. And he said, you know what? That I really liked the way you recited the prayer before, because it was more from the heart. Just go back and do it the old way. And so, yeah, all these stories, and there are many, many stories like that, which shows that if there is a devotion to the Supreme Lord, then everything else doesn't really matter. And this is the main message of Bhagavatam. One might be even a demon, not just, you know, from before, but in real life, one might be a demon, like Vritrasura or Bali Maharaj. But if this is a devotee, then everything else doesn't really matter. And Bali Maharaj is the example of Atmanivedana. And Atmanivedana means surrendering everything. Manasa deha geho yokichumor arpinul dum pade nanda kishor. He is a really brave kshatriya because he knows at that point that he is going to lose everything. Actually, in the previous chapter, there were predictions made by Shukracharya that you'll be cheated by this Brahmana boy. He'll take everything away from you. And you'll actually, as a result, you'll go to hell for that. And all these predictions came true, including Bali Maharaj is going to hell, right? And he's still there. Sutala Loka is hellish planet, right? But he is there, he lives there in the company of the Supreme Lord. And so for him, hell is no match to any heaven. And this is how the devotees are. In the sixth canto, Lord Shiva praising Maharaj Chitraketu for his devotion and for his fearlessness. He says, Narayana para sarvena kutaschana bipyati svargapa varganarkesh apitulyarta darshana, that all these devotees of the Supreme Lord Narayan, nakutaschana bibiti, amazingly, they have no fear. Svarga pavarga narakesh. For them, it's the same thing, apitulyarta darshana, whether it is svarga, heavenly planets, apavarga, material existence, or hell. It's the same thing for them. Because they're already with Krishna. And so this is Bali Maharaj. He chose Krishna over material possessions. And he sacrificed everything for the sake of Krishna. Whereas Shukracharya is ready to sacrifice pleasure of the Supreme Lord in exchange of the material possessions. And it is as foolish as a man looking for, you know, a quarter he dropped in the dark, leading for that sake $100 bill, or even bunch of $100 bills. This is that foolish, much more foolish, that Shukracharya is sacrificing the pleasure of the Supreme Lord for some, you know, ridiculous material possessions. And he fails to understand that everything, even materially, is a blessing of the Supreme Lord. And so therefore, Chanakya Pandit says that one who is sacrificing eternal for the sake of temporary is losing eternal, because he already sacrificed that, and then he is losing temporary as well, because temporary is temporary, after all. So we can understand that if one is Krishna conscious, one will gain everything, spiritually and materially. But if someone is not Krishna conscious, then one will lose everything. And so Shukracharya is going to lose everything because he was trying to hold on to it, because of his attachments. And Bali Maharaj will gain everything because he is attached only to Krishna, to Vamanadev. And Shukracharya started panicking because Vamanadev is Hari, and Hari literally means thief. So Shukracharya was saying that Vamanadev will steal everything for you, don't deal with him, it's really dangerous. And sometimes, you know, we may not realize that point, but as a result of our practices, we might come to this, you know, through experience, we might understand how it is happening, because, you know, dealing with Krishna or serving Krishna is very different from serving demigods, because demigods will only give what you want, but Krishna might take away as well. I remember when I joined the movement, you know, my father was doing very successful business, and I practiced a little bit of Krishna consciousness, and I had the idea, and then, you know, I was trying to enjoy myself. I didn't follow anything. And because I had more money than I could spend, I ran myself into a complete depression because I was trying to enjoy so hard. And I was thinking, okay, you know, there is only one option now. You know, and also from within my heart, I was hearing this voice, you know, man, you're just wasting your life, just, you know, become Krishna conscious. And then finally I decided to do that. But then I thought, you know, because I have so much money as well, instead of, you know, burning them for my own pleasure, I'll be using them to serve Guru, Krishna and Vaishnavas, and I'll be living a wonderful life. And then the first thing, you know, the first surprise was that, you know, we've lost everything. Actually, our business was, you know, someone broke into the office and stole money and some equipment, and then same thing happened to our house, and someone tried to burn the house down. And so, you know, we felt it's really not safe to stay in this place. And then we moved from that place, and I was like really depressed. I was thinking, what's going on? Why Krishna is doing all these things? You know, before I surrendered to him, he gave me everything. Now, when after I surrendered everything, I surrendered myself, he takes everything away. Why is that? He's not allowing me to use it in his service. But then I realized why it happened, because after a very short time, the civil war started in that very place. And our neighborhood was the very first hit by the war, and most of our neighbors died in the very first day. And actually, our house, I heard that the tank went through the house. And it was really beautiful place. You know, it was really painful to leave that place because it was a holiday resort and our house was on the beachfront. And, you know, my greatest pleasure was to sleep in a fruit garden in our house, you know, just put the bed under the tree and, you know, and every day bathe and in the sea, you know. But if those events would never happen, we would never leave that place. And then I realized it was Krishna's mercy. He just cut all the attachments and he made us to move. And then that place literally exploded behind our backs. And I was thinking, oh my God, you know, it was actually Krishna's mercy in disguise. And so there are so many things happening in devotees' lives which do not look like Krishna's mercy. Sometimes Krishna is taking things away, but he's always doing that for our benefit. Why Krishna is taking anything from the devotee? Because he wants to give us something better. But because we are holding to that attachment, you know, our hands are occupied. So Krishna has to make our hands free to receive the real mercy, much greater than we can even imagine. And so our position is really fortunate because it's Krishna who is looking after us. And therefore, we have no worries in Krishna consciousness. And the more we become convinced that Krishna consciousness is the real solution to every single problem of the world, will be enthused to share that knowledge and lifestyle with everyone else. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Is our time over? Yeah? All right. So we'll finish here. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande. New Dwaraka Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Спасибо. Спасибо вам. Ваше благословение. Да.